What's going on, funny talkers? It's me, it's Mike. We're here for another episode of Mike Talks Funny. Apologies that this did not drop Tuesday night like it usually does, but we had some scheduling with our guest for this week, and I couldn't just go get another guest because I really wanted to have this guy on the show today, and you'll understand why in a little bit. So this is the new home for Mike Talks Funny. If you're listening to us on Anchor, we are still, of course, available on all other platforms, Overcast and Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff. But this is where the show is going to live from now on going forward. We put a post to this on social media because, as we've talked about, Eventide Entertainment is going away. But this podcast will live on here in its new home on Anchor. So that's really good. I want to thank everyone so much from the bottom of my heart who came out to the Wiley's Fireworks Comedy Competition this past weekend. It was my first year ever entering in this competition. It was my first real comedy competition ever. I've done some small ones at colleges and stuff in the past, but this is the first big one. And it was so much fun. And for me, to have such a good show. I didn't make it to the finals, unfortunately, but I got to perform with some of the heaviest hitters in the Midwest, in the Dayton area, for that matter, to have as good a show as I did, to have as good a fan reaction as I did, and to have as much fun as I did. For me, it wasn't about the winning. It was about the experience, and I had an amazing one. I got a big shout-out to Tony Foxworthy and Dusty Harvey, who placed in the finals, and we have got the winner of the Wiley's Fireworks Comedy Competition on the show today. Zaid Fozy is our special guest. He just got back in town from New York, and so we're going to talk with him about his stand-up and his time with Wiley's, and it was just such a great conversation to have. If you guys want to see me again soon, I was going to be at the Funny Bone in Dayton on the 11th. Due to some scheduling stuff, I've had to cancel that show. However, I will be at Wiley's on Sunday, July 14th and Sunday, August 4th. So you can go get tickets to those shows by going to MikeShayComedy.com, and you can get tickets to those shows there. And I got more shows coming for you guys here soon. Guys, don't forget, next week's episode is the season 3 finale of Mike Talks Funny. We're going to have Travis Diffendurfer on the show to talk about some of his upcoming projects, and we're going to make some very important special announcements about what's going on with Mike Talks Funny in the future after season 3. So make sure you guys listen to next week's episode. We were originally going to do it live. We went ahead and moved things over to Anchor, so we can't do the live show anymore, but we're still going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be a great finale. Make sure you guys tune in for that. I'm going to quit bullshitting now. I think I've talked about everything we need to talk about. Let's cue the music, and let's get into my conversation with Zaid Fozy. It's going to be awesome right here on Mike Talks Funny. Hey guys, welcome back to Mike Talks Funny. We are sitting here on the phone lines with the winner of the 2019 Wiley's Fireworks Comedy Competition, Zaid Fozy. Zaid, how's it going, man?
Doing well, man. Happy to be here.
Man, good to have you on. So we're just going to jump right into this, man. You are the first place grand prize, whatever you want to call it, winner of this year's fireworks competition, man. How does it feel?
It was really excellent. The competition was really cool. It was my first year doing it. And there were a lot of great comedians involved. So it's an honor, definitely, to be named the winner. But it was also a lot of fun to be in the audience and see some great comics from Dayton.
So you went, which show was, because as for those who don't know, the way they do the competition is it's two nights, well, three nights. The first two nights, there's four shows. Each of those is the round one show. The winners from those rounds go to the finals on Sunday. Which show was yours?
So I was on Saturday at 7:15.
Oh, so you were okay. So I was on the Saturday at 9 show. So I missed you by just a couple hours. You said this is your first time doing it. How did you get involved in it?
So I just graduated from Indiana University. I'm originally from Dayton, but went to school at IU. and I got involved in comedy over there, mainly sketch comedy, so like Saturday Night Live type stuff. But over the past year or so, I've developed a really big passion for stand-up and had a lot of free time between now and I'm actually moving to Chicago later this month, but had a lot of free time between graduation and move. So I got involved at Wiley's doing the open mic, and they recommended I try for this competition, and I ended up signing up, and I'm really happy I did.
Now, had you ever performed at Wiley's before?
Yeah, just one time for an open mic.
Okay, and what's, you said you're getting ready to move to Chicago. What's the appeal of going to Chicago?
A couple things. One, I got a job out there, which is a big help. But two, it's such a great comedy city. With Second City out there, they have the Laugh Factory. So they have a really good comedy community out there, and it's not as dense as New York or L.A. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to kind of make a splash. So and I have a lot of connections out there. So I'm really excited to get out there.
Well, that's awesome, man. Just the awkward part of this, like, we have not met before. I have not seen you perform, unfortunately. So kind of for my own benefit and for the benefit of the people at home, can you tell us a little bit about, like, what your set is like what your inspiration comes from?
Yeah, of course. So I think the best way to answer that is, I'm an Arab Muslim, son of an immigrant, born and raised in the United States. And I think that in of itself provides a lot of material. So I've had a very unique, upbringing, in which I got to see kind of both sides of America from, you know, growing up in Dayton, Ohio, but also having a Syrian background and a Muslim background. So I draw a lot of my experiences off that. As far as like my style and my inspiration, I'm a big Sebastian Maniscalco fan. I love the physicality of his comedy. He always makes use of the stage space that he has. And he always has this great intensity and energy to his bits. So I do my best to kind of always bring as much energy and as much positive energy to the stage as possible.
And how are your parents as far as the whole you being a comedian thing? Like, where are they sitting with that?
Right. So obviously, you know, going into comedy is not as steady of a profession as most parents would want. But I'm really lucky that I'm in the position where both my parents are very supportive of me pursuing this, and they're both very happy to see any success come my way. My dad loves the fact that he's the basis for most of my material. So he kind of always jokes about that. And they're very, very supportive, and they just want what's best for me. And so that's really awesome.
Well, that's good, man. We're talking you. So you literally just got back in town. You did Wiley's fireworks on Sunday, and then you were in New York last night.
Yes.
What were you doing in New York,
So I had a set at Gotham Comedy Club in one of the new town showcases.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, it was kind of intense, right? Because I performed Saturday, then I had the finals on Sunday, then I flew out at 10 a.m. yesterday, performed at Gotham, and flew back. I'm, you know, just now getting back into town. So kind of nonstop moving for the last 3 days. But it was really awesome to be out in New York. It was my first time performing out there. I'd visited but never performed, and so I shared the stage with Gary Goldman.
What?
He was the first comic to go. Yeah, so it was an unreal experience and a lot of fun. Saw a lot of fun talent, and it was cool to kind of test out my style and my material on an audience that I'm completely foreign to. So really, really great experience.
Not to take away from you, but I am a massive Gary Goldman fan. I love that dude.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He was working out some of his material. And that was also really cool to see, because most of the time when I'm performing, it's a show or a competition, and so it's everyone's super rehearsed and well practiced and everything. But for him, it was kind of cool to see a professional comic just trying out material and working it out live in front of us on stage. That was a lot of fun.
Now, how did you manage to get on at the Gotham Club, man?
So I've had a lot of free time on my hands. So I've just been emailing comedy clubs around the country, trying to get as many spots as possible. And I just send them a link to my YouTube page or my Instagram page. Let them know, hey, you know, I've been in comedy for a couple of years. I'm doing stand-up for a year and a half. And I'd love an opportunity to get any stage time. And most don't get back to you, but, you know, the new talent agent at Gotham got back to me and gave me a spot, which was really fun. So yeah, just a lot of shameless self-promotion.
That's cool, man, because you mentioned, and we touched on it briefly here, you know, you did Wiley's Saturday and Sunday, flew out to New York and then flew back today. You're getting that taste of what it's like to be a pro touring comic, just on the road constantly, last minute turnover traveling. What's that experience like? Like, how's that sitting in your head?
It's definitely intense, I'll say. I think that's a good way to describe it. Normally I'm used to doing maybe a set a week, a set every other week. So knowing that I had three sets back to back to back was a little intimidating. And I think for me, I'm the type of person, I never like to do two sets the exact same way. I always try to interchange jokes or interchange, you know, certain styles and deliveries. I always try to improve. So getting those reps in was really nice. But kind of just maintaining focus of like, all right, I got another performance tonight. Let's keep my head in the game. You know, that was pretty interesting. So definitely not easy, but exciting. It's been a lot of fun.
We've heard talk about, you know, hear about guys like Jay Washington, who did a thing a few years ago where he did 30 sets in 30, like basically like a 30 set challenge, to where like he did 30 shows in a row, and each show he did a completely different 5 minutes. There are a lot of comics who are always wanting to put new stuff up. There's a lot of comics who tend to pull from the same set for a little while. For you, are you more of a constantly write, constantly put new stuff in, or do you prefer to kind of roll with stuff that you know works for a while?
So it's actually a combination of the both. It depends on the type of performance. So for the competition, I went with stuff that I've been doing that I know has worked, that I know will land, that I know very well. Last night, same thing, because I kind of felt a little bit more pressure is on. For open mics, though, I always try at least one new joke. As far as writing, I received really good advice from my aunt, who said she heard Jerry Seinfeld say this, that every day he writes a new joke. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 5 minutes writing or 5 hours writing, but he always writes every single day. So I've been trying to do that. I come up with a bit every single day and write it down on my phone and come back to it every couple days to see, all right, is it cooking well? Am I able to, what if I added it onto this joke? Or what if I combine these two jokes? So I'm always trying to write new material. And for open mics, I'm always trying to do at least one new joke. But for performances where I feel like a little bit more high pressure situation, I try to do stuff that I know I've done before and that has hit very well.
And are you know, a lot of comics get a lot of their writing practice, their bit testing through things like Instagram and Twitter. Is that kind of your speed as well, or do you kind of try to keep those two separate a little bit?
So I use mainly my social media for self-promotion. I don't really put much material out there. Any material I do put out there is usually on my YouTube, or maybe, you know, 10 seconds on my story to let someone know I've dropped a new video. The way I test material actually is I call my brother. So my older brother, Zach, he's 5 years older than me, he's my best friend. And he's the only person who really hears all of my material before anybody else. So I'll call him 3-4 times a day and be like, hey, is this funny? Do you think this is good? Because he's as big of a comedy fan as I am. He's not into performing, but he loves comedy. And he's always honest with me. So sometimes he'll tell me it's not funny. Sometimes he'll tell me it's really funny. But he's usually my test ground for jokes.
So you guys are tight like that you feel comfortable enough that you can run bits by him.
Yes, absolutely. And I trust him because, for two reasons. One, I know that he has enough respect for me that he'll tell me if he thinks something isn't funny or if he thinks that I can improve some way or somehow, which is really important to me. I always want people to be honest with me and provide honest feedback. But two, he's like an encyclopedia in the way that he memorizes things. And when he reads something or hears something, he doesn't really forget it. And so because of the amount of comedy he listens to, I want to know, does this punchline already exist? Does this premise already exist? Is this joke too similar to someone else or something out there? Because I never want to repeat someone else's joke.
For sure. You know, I'm usually pretty vocal about if I ever catch someone using someone else's joke, I will call them out publicly, and probably not right. Nicely either. It's, you know, but I will say this. So from an experience I had over the weekend at Wiley's. So I have a joke that I wrote 7-8 years ago. It's the opener for every set that I do. And there mm-hmm. happened to be another comic there that night who basically he had the same joke, but instead of telling it on stage, he had turned it into a t-shirt. And we had never met before. Mm-hmm. He's from another state. Like, I wrote the bit when I was living on the other side of the country, and it kind of got into this awkward, you know, like we were cool. Neither of us were pissed at each other, and we had never met before. But it created this kind of awkward space of like, well, shit, now what?
Right.
That kind of situation, like, have you ever been in a weird spot like that where somebody else had the same joke or a joke that was really similar or vice versa?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of on that note, I think comics tend to look at things in really weird ways. And so I think it's not abnormal to arrive at a very same, like at the same premise. And I think that because our brains work in a certain way, sometimes we can arrive even at the same punchline independently. And for me, back in Bloomington, I was doing the open mic circuit at the Comedy Attic Club out there. And there's another guy who is actually also half Arab like me, and he went up before me and was making a lot of the same similar types of jokes that I make. We have very different styles, but just to have someone go up there, two people before I'm supposed to go on, and he's doing all these half Arab, half white jokes, and that's my set, right? Which is incredibly intimidating because this is my first time doing an open mic in Bloomington. But I ended up just kind of, you know, walking up and addressing it right away. I was just like, well, you know, I'm Arab and Muslim, and I just watched a meal do my entire set for 5 minutes, so I might as well sit down. And then that kind of livened it up a little bit and eased it up so people kind of knew what to expect. But definitely, it's intimidating and nerve-wracking when you see someone's like, oh, wow, I have something very, very similar to that plan.
It's weird, you know, because there's a weird gray area because on one hand, yeah, like there's only so many thoughts that exist in the world, I think. And
right.
And also, when, like you said, you're in a situation like yourself where you come from a similar, you know, ethnic background as the person, you know, those mm-hmm. there are those stereotypes out there that exist. And as a comedian, it's easy to pull from those. So it's easy for any
right.
comedian with that same background to pull from those. So it's, yeah.
Right.
But I will say there is a difference between that and, like, I saw a video the other day of a comic in Hawaii who did, like, verbatim a bit from one of Pablo Francisco's old sets. And
oh, wow.
I called him on it, and he's like, I've never heard of this Pablo Francisco guy. I'm like, yeah, no, he only did TV, you know, HBO specials. And he's like, I showed him a clip, and he was like, well, that clip, you know, it was before I did. I was like, well, this clip's from 95, and you were not born. But anyway, yeah, it's weird. Especially, you can always tell when somebody knows they're caught dead to rights because they get super defensive about it.
Right. I think there's a lot that goes into a joke that's besides the premise and the punchline. I think 90% of a joke is timing and cadence and pacing and the way you deliver it, the style of delivery. And so, you know, there's certain things that maybe the premise is lined up, but the delivery style is completely different, right? So there's so much that goes into telling a joke. But when all these things start to line up, like for me, you know, the go-to idea of stealing a joke is Carlos Mencia stealing Bill Cosby's bit about winning the Super Bowl and saying, like, hi, Mom, you know?
Yeah,
And he does it verbatim with the same cadence and the same, you know, pacing of the joke, same timing. And so that's kind of an undeniable situation, you know? But there's so much that goes into writing more than just the words and the premise.
Well, also with a guy like Mencia, I don't know, there's a documentary, I don't know if you've seen it, called I Am Comic. And in the documentary, they have Mencia on camera saying, like, yeah, I steal jokes. If you say something that's funny and I hear it, like, I'm going to take it. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put a put a deek-ditty in the middle, and I'm going to make it my joke. And it's one of those where it's like he just blatantly there's this story that goes around where like Mencia was doing a show at a club and George Lopez was in the audience and Mencia did like 7 straight minutes of Lopez's bits and like Mencia like I don't know if they got into a fight but yeah they got into it, man. Mencia is a whole other level, man.
Right. And I think, you know, in my shoes, I spend a lot of time writing a joke. Before a joke hits the stage, I've thought about it over and over. I've tried it a couple different ways. I've run it by a couple different people. And so when you put in that work and that effort to come up with a really good bit and you see someone just take it, it's really disrespectful and really frustrating because people put in so much time and energy into comedy. I don't think that's something that, you know, general audiences understand. You know, as funny as people are, there's a lot of energy spent trying to come up with material.
Yeah. It's not everybody. A lot of people get this weird idea. Like when we're comedians, we're not going up on stage, making this up off the top of our heads. Like there's hours of work put into this.
Right. Exactly.
All right, man. Well, listen, Zaid, we're gonna take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're gonna play a little game, man. We're gonna do 3 minutes of rapid fire questions, man. You feeling up to it?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right, guys, stick around real quick. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back right after this.
And now it's time for The Roast of Mike Shea. This has been The Roast of Mike Shea.
It's the coolest tournament in music. Ohio is on Fire presents Dayton's Indie Music Madness 2019. 32 artists with 32 original tracks compete for fan votes to decide the best in the world. Past winners include Melvin Robertson Jr., a.k.a. Faith Baby, Ready Go Down. Elementary Liberty Project, You're Not Ready. Typical Johnson's Sleepwalker. Vote for free at facebook.com/groups/Dayton's Indie Music Madness and vote extra at patreon.com/Ohio is on fire.
Closed captioning of this program was brought to you by nobody. It's a podcast. Seriously, if you're deaf, why are you here? Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We are still sitting here with Zaid Fozzi, winner of the 2019 Wiley's Fireworks Comedy Competition. And we're going to have some fun, like we do with every guest on the show. We're going to do 3 minutes of rapid fire questions. Zaid, are you ready, man?
Let's do it.
All right, do this in 3, 2, 1. What was the last gift you gave someone?
A t-shirt.
If you were to get rid of one state, which would it be?
New Mexico.
Who do you admire the most?
My dad.
What is your dream job?
Stand-up comedian.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning, for sure.
What is one thing you own you wish you didn't?
That one's so tough. I would say I still have all my toy lightsabers from when I was like a child, but they're all broken.
Fuck yes. What is your biggest addiction?
Comedy.
What is the thing you're most afraid of?
Clowns and spiders.
Me too, man. What celebrity annoys you the most?
Ariana Grande.
Hell yeah. What's a nickname your parents used to call you?
Zato.
Wow. Would you rather be able to speak every language or be able to talk to animals?
Speak every language.
How long does it take you to get ready?
15 minutes.
Fill in the blank. Taylor Swift is?
Weird.
Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
7.
Cake or pie?
Cake, for sure.
Who has it easier, men or women?
Men.
Have you ever worn socks with sandals?
Unfortunately, yes.
You fucking heathen. Is there such a thing as objective beauty?
Yeah.
If Voldemort offered you a hug, would you accept?
100%. You gotta hug everybody.
Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
Absolutely not.
Do you respect Kanye West?
Oh, man. Musically, yes.
Godfather or Star Wars?
Godfather.
Big dogs or small dogs?
Big dogs.
Are women complicated?
100%.
Stale Sour Patch Kids or fresh circus peanuts?
Stale Sour Patch Kids.
Do you know how to salsa dance?
I do.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at wiffle ball?
Ooh, I'm going to go with a 2 because I don't really know what wiffle ball is.
Have you ever slapped someone in the face?
Yeah.
Favorite type of muffin?
Banana nut.
Do you like the smell of gasoline?
No.
Last question. Would you eat a day-old taquito from Speedway?
Oh, probably not.
Aw, but they're so good. All right, man. Zayd Fozy, man, thanks so much for doing this, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it, man.
Where can the people find you online? Where can they see you on stage again next?
Yes, so you can find me on YouTube at Zayd Fozy Comedy and Instagram and Facebook at Zayd Fozy. And then I will be at Wiley's this weekend, either Friday or Saturday. We're still figuring out which one works best for everybody. But I will be at one of the shows this weekend.
Fantastic, man. So, guys, make sure you check out Zayd Fozy online. Go see him live whenever you get the chance. Zayd Fozy, thanks again, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. We got more show right around the corner. Stick around. This is Mike Talks for you. All right, guys, that is going to do it for this week's episode of Mike Talks Funny. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I always appreciate it. We'll be back again next Tuesday. I want to remind you guys that, again, next Tuesday is our Season 3 finale, and it's going to be a little bit different than usual. We're not going to be dropping this show at 5 p.m. We're going to be dropping it at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, and it's going to be about an hour, hour and a half long. And then as soon as the episode is over, at the end of the episode, we'll make the big announcement that I've been teasing a little bit here. And then, in case you guys have any questions or anything, we will be doing a live Q&A chat after the show. It'll either be on Discord or some other chat. We'll figure that out. But we'll post a link to that in the event page. If you want to check out the event page, go to Facebook.com/MikeTalksFunny. And you'll be able to join in the event page there. I've got a link for it in the description of this episode. And you'll be able to check out the episode brand new. And, yeah, that'll be it for next week. So, hey, I'm going to get out of here. You guys, thank you again so much for listening. And, as always, live well, rock on.